Hey guys, this is Tina Tapatio. Thank you for joining us on Vegas Geek Crew. Enjoy our second episode.
Hello everyone, and thank you for tuning in to listen to our second episode of Vegas Geek Crew, Valley Celestials. On our panel is me, Nate El Vindicator Ramirez.
Noe Monoslos Molina.
And Tina Tapatio Ramirez.
Hey guys, so this is our second episode, and basically I gathered feedback, and I'm very appreciative of the people that have listened to our episode thus far. Everyone's been so positive and so supportive. It's encouraging, right? Yes, and so I decided to add a segment to the show called Shoutouts. And our first shoutout is going to...
The first shoutout is going to be for Pat Mendoza. She gifted the show a Scentsy warmer. She is a representative for Scentsy. And so we're very grateful for that gift.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I walked in and I see the box. I was just like, what is that pink?
Can I be honest? It was emotional for me because I feel like Black Panther is a bookmark in Marvel Cinematic history. It was indicative of what we should do as a society as far as focusing on different characters. And Chadwick Boseman, I think, was a perfect ambassador for that. And he did so many great things. His story is so unique. There's a Denzel Washington got an award. I don't remember exactly what award it was, but Chadwick said some beautiful things, how Denzel helped him to go through college. And it was on a trip to Europe, you know, basically refine his skills and as an actor. And so you hear these stories of people in their trials and tribulations, and then you appreciate them a little bit more because you realize that their blood, sweat, and tears does go into their craft. Miss Mendoza, thank you so much.
Second shout out goes to Adam Dull.
So Adam he's great, man. He listened to the show and he gave me some great feedback. I was happy to hear from him. He works within our organization too. And so he, great guy. He has a eBay storefront and he loves pop culture. And so first thing he said to me is Rufio when he texted me. And I was like, oh man, I was giddy with excitement. I was just like, I'm happy that we put out content that's actually audible. Like, we're just sitting here having a conversation. But sometimes I feel that in today's society, it's a skill that's been lost. And so the fact that I found that I have a group of friends that we can talk about these things, our passions, our fandoms, our things that we enjoy is great. It fulfills me. And so Adam's like that. He's that type of friend. And but he's a great guy. Visit his storefront. I can't remember the name. I'm definitely going to put it in the comments.
Yeah, you're going to have to share his information
or
the eBay store.
Yeah. And then that way our listeners can support him.
Their shout out is for Mr. Sean Mutoff. This is a guy that I personally work with, you know, very close. He's a really great guy. He's written two books.
It's me and Mr. Mouse.
Me and Mr. Mouse.
Dude. Oh, is that the books I knew you guys went to?
Yeah.
I'm so sad I couldn't go. Yes. I was so tired.
I know.
I was so tired, but I saw the pictures and I saw the book signing through our
Instagram.
Our Instagram, but it looked really nice.
Mr. Mutoff's great. Like S.A. Mutoff. That's S.A. Yeah, S.A. And when I read it first, I was like, is this a play on words? Like S.A. You know, like I was like, wait, is this a joke? But no. It's S.A. Mutoff. And so it's his first initial and middle initial. And then his last name, yeah. But he has a gift. And so he's going to be a future guest.
Yes,
will. On episode 3, we're doing, you know, we're doing the Millar episode. It's not the Millar episode. It's more of a literature episode. But he's a great guy. Him and his family are amazing. And so I got to meet the whole crew. And I was like, oh, this is why this guy's so happy. He, you know, he comes home to such a wonderful group of just kids and wife and family. And he's so supported. And his books are great. Have you read them?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Which one's your favorite? One or two?
You know, I have to say that number 2 right now is my favorite. It's very emotional. It's I can identify with it. I definitely recommend it. Can I say a little bit of what it's
like? I mean, I kind of want to know. I haven't read them or heard about them.
So, but hold on. I don't want to spoil too much because we have that coming up in the third episode. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to dive too deep into his stuff. I'd rather him, from his perspective, kind of explain it to us.
Okay. No, okay.
So, I think emotionally for me, it's because I identify with the parents I identify with the child because, you know, the child longs for his parents.
Okay, that's enough for me.
And that's all I'm going
to
say.
No, that's enough for me to be like, I'm just going to go buy that book right now.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful book.
No way. We said, what did I say in our group chat?
What?
I was like, my sister's like, are you getting it? I was like, yeah, my feelings, because you guys opened me up.
I was like, it's not me.
No. It was like, you guys start going into
it's
dark
a
places.
It's a ripple effect.
No.
It's like, it only takes one ripple to keep the rest going.
It starts with you two, I swear to God. Our next shout out is
for Mario's Gaming.
Love at the Swap Meet.
He is amazing. Love him. He's located at Broadacres Marketplace.
Yes.
He's so genuine.
He is a staple to our history when we first moved here, because the first thing that we looked for was a swap meet.
Yeah.
Because that was something that we did in California. Like, we had to always go to a swap meet.
I love swap meets. You know, the thing for me is just because, it sounds cheesy, one man's treasure. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, it's true. I've gone to swap meets, and you find these things that people stopped appreciating, but they fit what you appreciate. And so, like, I'll pick up little random things. And
I love calling them hidden gems.
Yeah, that's what they are. And so, Mario, he's always been easy to work with. And I mean, you just picked up a Wii U for you.
Yes, he did.
And it was a wireless sensor.
Yeah.
Never cool. Seen one of those.
Really?
Aftermarket sensor. Those sensors, nice. It's nice because you've seen the wires I have to deal with. So, have you played the Wii U? Are you enjoying it?
I've only played it here with you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I haven't had a chance to play it. I'm still messing with...
Your Switch?
With the Switch and some of the settings on the Wii U. Okay. Yeah.
And then our next shout out is for
Hoopity Hoopla. I had the pleasure of meeting her and her family. Lovely story, lovely family. We actually met them at the Creating Card Show.
Yeah, Front Row Card Show.
But it was a very brief introduction at the time. It was just the husband and one of their youngest boys.
Yeah.
But he was very on top of it when it came to selling the cards. They were mostly selling Disney cards, Disney trading cards. But to the side, you saw some, like, baseball cards.
It's the 100 anniversary cards, right?
Yeah.
And so, have you seen this card set? It's cool because...
I have not.
I think everyone has a connection with Disney. It's just part of childhood here in the States.
This is the way.
Yeah, it is. Well, because the thing is, like, you know, they encourage imagination and they encourage... family, and they encourage all the things, all the fundamentals that kind of unite people, they encourage. And so I'm a big fan of the ducks.
You know what I should have asked for?
What?
The Jungle Book. That is my movie, my childhood movie. I know.
It is. Well, we're not talking about movies today. We're okay. Not going to go down that hole. But they had the trading cards, and I was drawn in because they had an art piece of Donald. I'm a big fan of Donald. He's
fully displayed on the front, and wanted to buy it.
Yeah, I wanted to buy it because it's a floating frame, so the image floats in the middle. Uh-huh. And my two favorite ducks are Donald and Scrooge my whole life. And I've always appreciated the fact that they're not your typical animal, right? They're not alpha animals, but I was at the time because of my childhood, you know, ducks fly together. The Mighty Ducks were a huge influence on my life, and I was just like, and then I looked at the ducks in just a different light, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. I was just like, and I became obsessed. And then DuckTales, and then I was like, oh man, these guys are fearless. And so as I became older, I've always been obsessed with the ducks. I try to have them. I have little Easter eggs all around my house.
It's like, if you look hard enough, you'll find some.
Yeah, and because and Donald's a sailor, and I was in the Navy, and so I was just like, oh, but it's just one of those obsessions that I don't talk about. And when I saw it, I was like, oh man, I want to buy this. And he's like, no, you have to join a raffle. Everyone that comes to our booth can. But I was like, I'm never going to see that duck again.
You're like, it was nice knowing him.
Yeah, I was like, what a cute duck. I wanted to take a selfie, but then I would have been pissed every time I looked at it.
But funny story, I was actually walking around looking for you because I got in half an hour before you arrived. And once I found you, I immediately knew what you were there for. I was like, the Donald Duck was fully displayed on the front. And then once I saw that you had to follow, like, share, comment, whatever the rules were for the raffle, I immediately entered. My friend that was there also entered. He's like, might as well. So it was kind of like a shot in the dark, even though there was a few raffle tickets in there.
And then I was having a rough week, and she's like, hey. She's like, you won your duck. I was like, I won my duck. I was like, I didn't get a text.
I know, I didn't give you any insight. We were just playing. Were we playing Mario?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. We were beating
Mario.
We were beating
It was a boss level.
Yeah, it was a boss level.
And then I look over at you because we beat the boss level, and then I got the text message, and I was like, "This is a sign." And I look over at you with no context, and I was like, "The duck is yours.
Yeah,
the duck is mine."
I was like, "What duck? What are you talking about?" I was terrified.
Me speaking code.
And I was like, and she shows me, and then I automatically, I'm like, "Damn!" I was just like, I put my head in my hands, and I was just like, "I really wanted that duck."
Yeah, and I looked at you, and I was just like, "You deserved it."
Did you? I mean, realize that you had won it, or
I don't think you fully processed it.
Yeah,
because I like so.
He had already forgotten about it as soon as he left. He's like, "I'm detached. I'm never thinking about that duck again."
No, because he's not your typical Donald Duck photograph. He's in like a suit, mm-hmm. and he looks clean. And I think the ducks are usually they're overlooked, right? Everyone loves Mickey, but something about the duck and the support he has for Mickey through all their adventures.
I always thought that he was more popular than Mickey.
The duck?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, no, no.
When
you go to Disneyland, do you buy Donald Duck hat or the Mickey ears?
I actually did not buy the Mickey Mouse ears, but everybody does. And yes, I see your point of view. Yeah.
I was like, what do you gravitate towards? The ears?
I mean, the reason I
when
say
you buy
that
the pancakes, what shape are they in? The duck or the Mickey?
Right. True.
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out facts, sir. I'm not making this up.
We're not attacking you.
The reason I say that the ducks are more popular was because growing up, you know, the cartoons that were popular at the time were DuckTales. And then you had my favorite was Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, it's because the ducks had syndicated television, but Mickey had feature films. So let's
TV show.
It's an apple to a meal, bro.
I mean, yes. The only thing is, like, again, like I think my movie experience wasn't as.
Oh yeah, yeah. Touching base on our previous episode, how we talked about how you were kind of out of touch with movies until you got older.
But yeah, exactly. We're grateful for Hoopity Hoopla.
Yeah, thank you so much, you guys. It was really nice meeting them. Super sweet family. And I really appreciated the fact that their son just knew exactly before even flipping through those cards what he had in stock. It's like, hey, do you have this? He's just like, if it's in there, it's going to be on this page. I was impressed.
He was well composed for like, I think he was like 9, and I was just impressed. And when we won it, I ended up purchasing an additional print and 2 more cards. And because I was like, if I'm going to get it, I might as well get another one. And they were gracious enough to go through their inventory and find another one that I enjoyed. And I hung them right next to my bed.
Not only that, they didn't sell him a trading card that was just something that they had already opened. They're blind bags, so they opened all their bags to see what Donald Ducks they had.
Really?
So that was super cool of them. Very appreciative.
Yeah, and so I was just like,
and they framed it for him.
Yeah, and I made sure that they're displayed proudly. So I every morning when I wake up, I'm like, hey, what's up, Donnie? And D2. I named him.
Right next to your door, right next to your bed.
Yeah, yeah. Just so I can wake up and pass him. You know, if I'm going pee, I'm like, hey boys, go and pee. But yeah, Hoopity Hoopla, thank you so much. Thank you to all our, you know, all our supporters, Miss Mendoza, Mr. Dole, Mr. Motoff, Mario, and the Hoopity Hoopla crew. You guys are great. So we're gonna move on to the next segment, which is the recap of what we did. So we went to Front Row Card Show. We talked about the Lego minifigs and the little display.
That's cool.
I got you.
What did you think?
Yeah, I got you too.
I like them.
Yeah. So what did I get you? Tell me.
You got me Phoenix. No, Jean Grey. Sorry. Yeah, it was Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel. What the heck? Marvel Girl. Or better known as Jean Grey. And the second one was Wolverine.
It's so funny because we were looking, sorry not to cut you off, but we were looking for the Wolverine, and my brother was like looking over all of them. He's like, because the vendor told us that one would be in there, and I was initially looking at him and I was like, haha, he has a little towel on his little private part, and I put him back down. Yeah, not realizing who. Like,
yeah, he's like, no, there's a Wolverine in there. No, it wasn't a Wolverine. It was a
Berserker Wolverine.
No, yeah, it was a Berserker Wolverine, but it was a what do they call him? A Project X.
No, you're talking about Weapon X.
Yeah, it was a Weapon X.
That's why I didn't recognize him. I mean, I saw his little body hair lines. So I was like,
oh my god, look at all his pelitos. You know what I mean?
Look at his little towel.
Yeah, I was like, this dude's naked. I was like, is this for a child show? And I was like, so what do you think of him?
I think they're cool. I like them. I put them on top of my display. Yeah. Not a display, it's my...
On a dresser or something.
On a dresser, yeah.
Yeah, no, no, it's good, man. I'm glad you liked them. I told you, it's like, when I find something I enjoy, I like to share it with other people, especially if they have similar likes. Mm. And it's like, I brought them to work, and I was just so excited to give them to you, because the two figures, we made sure that they were on black displays, so that they just look clean. Because initially, Jean Grey was on a red display, which she looked weird. We met Hoopity Hoopla, which was good. I ended up finding, yeah,
the game,
the Sega Genesis.
And who found it?
So the vendor that I had an issue with last time that wouldn't budge on pricing, I got him to bundle price, and I ended up picking up three Genesis games, way cheaper than I would have found them online, because I didn't have to pay for shipping. And one of them had a box, a game that I had been looking for a while, the Fantasia game for Genesis. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, man, I'm so excited. The guy was a little shady, I'm not even going to lie. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're not shouting him out or his store. No,
or else I would have remembered to shout him out.
Yeah.
But I was a little perturbed.
Well, no, because he's just like, because it was his son that was vending the video games, and he was selling the collectibles, and they were on opposite ends of the table.
And keep in mind, they had a pretty big booth, so like, his father was on the other side taking care of comic books, yeah, and like some of the collectible toys, and then on the other end we had like the games and some older figures as well. But I walked up, I was like, let me see what I can find, and the first thing I picked up was a game, and I was like, oh, my brother's gonna love this. And he's like on the opposite end of the table trying to like bundle up on things, and I was just like, look, and I like raised it up like a trophy. He's like, put that down. Because I asked, I was like, what's the price? And he's like, sticker price. Keep in mind, sticker price was like below $10. So it was just like a really good find when I saw it at another table for like,
yeah, my sister that. Is really bad at gem hunting, because she gets excited. And I'm like, you don't want to show the vendor that. Because it happened a couple times. She saw it. We stopped by a couple vendors with comics, and they had them priced out at a certain price. And I was like, cool, I'll pick these up. And she's like, this is so cool. And then he's like, actually, this is the price from 10 years ago. It's $100. And I was like, no, it's not $100. I was like, all right, you know what? I don't need them. I'll walk. Because they were trying to be slick. I understand they're not trying to be slick. They're trying to make their money. But at the same time, be honest. They're hustling. Yeah, don't be a scumbag. I hate that. Like, I rather walk away and find it somewhere else, because I go to enough of these events where I'm like, I'll find it. It doesn't hurt me to walk away, because I'm like, I'll eventually run into it again. Except the artwork. Because those prints are just so beautiful. But, and so when she showed me the Fantasia game that I had been looking for a while, it's one of the last ones that I need. I was just like, put it down. Because I was just like, don't do this.
What was it, like $7?
It was marked at 25.
Okay.
And then, but I got him to do three games, value of about $80 for $50. And I was just like, 50, I felt it was fair.
Yeah.
Especially because the games are 30 plus years old, right? And so, but the guy was acting shady. He had an extra $5, and he's like, an extra $5 for a credit card. And he was, no, dude.
Not only that, like, he was looking at each one of them to see what he was pricing each out at. And he grabbed it and threw it on the counter, grabbed the next one, looked at it, put it in his thing, what he was charging for, and then threw it again on the counter. I was like, why does he keep that?
Like, almost like he wanted to break it, or
It was a bit aggressive, but the thing is, I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it, because I was like, all right, you know what? $55 is still cheaper than shipping. And so I paid $55, and I was just like, I was happy. We found some cool comics. I found a first printing of Spider-Man 2099.
Oh, yes.
You showed it to me. With the foil cover.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. Yeah. You know how much? $15.
Wow.
Straight gold.
But that was at like your third table, right?
It was at my third table, and yeah, it was
slowly going down in price at each table. Yeah. Right, when you were trying to look for it. Well, not intentionally.
No, it was unintentional. What do you and me like to do when we go see comics?
We're looking for certain comics.
We go through the boxes.
Yeah,
and a lot of people at that show were not going through the boxes. Yeah. And I felt kind of bad, because my sister and her friend were there, and I was just like, ah, man, I feel bad looking through these. I gotta look, and you never know what you're gonna find. And I found it, and I was like, it was in his box, and it was marked 15. And he wasn't arguing price with anybody, so I put it on the table, and I gave him 15, and I walked the fuck away. And because I hadn't seen it in good condition ever. Mm-hmm. And it's in pristine condition. I'm going to get it graded at the next big show. But I was just like so happy. I was just like, man, I would want Oscar Isaac to sign it before I get it graded. And then Oscar Isaac's signature is on there, because I feel that now. While we watch Spider-Verse, I feel like he's the perfect voice protagonist for Miguel O'Hara. That was the Fines. Front Row Car Show, I think, was a success. It was bigger than it was the first time I went. Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun. I took the time of just making like a quick loop around at the beginning when I went in. And it's so funny because my friend weeks prior was asked me, he's like, hey, do you know of anybody that's selling an Xbox 360 Guitar Hero guitar? I was like, I don't right now, but if I find something or see something, like, I'll let you know. First thing we walk in, make a loop, not even halfway through all the booths, it's just like the first thing we see on display is a guitar.
Really?
And it was fairly priced, so he bought it, paid it in cash. The same booth, the vendor that was next to him that was still setting up because it was early in the morning, was taking out a few comics. And when my brother got inside and we were walking around and he actually looked through the box, something that I don't tend to do a lot, we found an Adventure Time glow-in-the-dark variant. So
it was a first print, first issue variant of Adventure Time. And if you weren't looking for it, you wouldn't know what it is because it looked like a blank cover. But you had to hold it up to the light and see that it was elevated. So, yeah.
So when you're looking at it, it looks completely blue. But then when you shift it or tilt it, and then
you see the shadows in the image. It's the really depth. Cool. It's, I was impressed. I found it, and the guy realized that I kind of knew what I was looking at, but not really. And so he's like, $100. I was like, dude, I'll give you 30. don't give me that.
And I'm just like, you have a price on it?
No. Here's the thing is, so I've been doing this so long that I refuse to go to vendors that don't have pricing because they read your body language. They look at your excitement. And so they're like, oh, hook, line, sinker. That guy didn't. He was literally not even a real vendor. He was standing on the side in the corner of someone else's booth. And he's like, hey, you looking for comics?
He just needed the pocket watches inside the trench coat.
Yeah. He was like
good, like a creep.
He didn't even one have of those space on the table. Figures
that you see in like a comic book. It's like, you know, it's like, hey man, I just need $5. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's good. But we ended up getting it. Like, I ended up, I think for both issues that you got, we paid 50, right?
Yeah, because it was one of the spinoffs of not Finn and Jake, but the female version when they jumped into like some of the episodes. I know I finished Adventure Time, but I didn't watch any of the spinoffs, but it was really cool to have. I really liked the cover. It had pink, yellows. I was just like, most of the tones that fit my room anyway. But the one that I was really excited for was the glow in the dark one, not because I'm like a big time collector, but just because of how it was my childhood show. I loved it so much. It was something I would always look for whenever I went to like Hot Topic, because that was like my collecting story.
Oh really?
It was like the closest thing that ever it came to. But
I think that's such a cool display piece.
And it came out in 2016, so it was published in 2016, and it's still in really good condition.
Yeah, I know. So that's moving on. Comic book channel. I just need a quick check in. Have you been reading Wiccan and Divine?
I've read the first two chapters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want a quick recap. What do you think? So thus far. I don't know. Not too much depth. We'll talk about
it. Not too much because I started. I'm like halfway through the first chapter.
Oh, are you? Okay.
So all I want to do is check in, because we're going to obviously cover this in the literature episode.
Okay. So I definitely love the mix of different gods from different pantheons. I definitely like that Lucifer is a god, because in actuality, he was a god.
He was a god. He's the fallen angel.
Yeah. Well, something that a lot of people don't know is in Judaism, the gods, the angels were demoted to, they were originally part of the pantheon, and then they were demoted to angels.
Okay.
Yes. And
it's cool how it ties into comics.
Yeah.
No. I love the fact that you're enjoying it. And what do you think of the tone? It's so dark, huh?
It's very dark.
It's so dark. Yes. Like, when I first was reading it, I was in a dark place. And I was like, oh my god, this is so dark, but it's so good, because once you get into it, especially when you're going to get to the third book, I think that's when they had an all-call to their fans, and they let the fans do all the illustration. So it's about to get weird, and you're going to enjoy it, I think.
Well, I enjoyed it. Has it been published yet, or?
It's in that book.
Oh, it's in that book.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it's really good. So I'm glad you're enjoying it. We will talk about it next episode. And you started reading The Magic Order. What do you think?
Well, at the beginning when I was reading it, I wasn't giving it the full attention. But now that I have actually fully read it, and I gave it my undivided attention today from start to finish. Literally, I was sitting there at work because it was slow. But I almost fell out of my seat.
Hey, don't get yourself in trouble.
No.
I mean, like, talking about it on the room. You know how many people from work listen to this? Jesus, that's most of our fan base.
During breaks and lunches, I'm a fast reader.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Because today his boss brought up the fact that he's like, oh, you're Mac. You know his breaks are at 12 to 12:15, at 10 to 10:15. Like, I was just like, yes, sir. I was talking to him about a future event. And he's just like, oh, really? What event? And I was like, no way, tell him. And he's just like, huh? And I was just like, he's just like, it was one of those things where I was just like, okay, yes, sir. But people listen to this show from work and they talked about it and they're like, oh, you should be more relatable or you should go into this subject and stuff like that, especially the people that work with you. I think so many people have so much love and respect for you. And I think that they support you. I think that shop just supports each other. And it's great. It's beautiful to see because there's no animosity. People are there to work and work. There's no egos, or it doesn't feel like there's egos, at least from my perspective. And they just work for each other just to get it done because they know that they're to complete a mission or do something. And so it's beautiful to see the support that we've been getting, where people have randomly stopped me and heard the podcast. And so, but Magic Order, you're liking it right now?
Yes, I actually finished 1 through 5, 1 through 6, volume 1. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good. I even texted Noe because you said you reread it from time to time, yeah, right?
Yeah, I've only read it twice.
So you read the Magic Order twice?
Yeah.
And
it's funny because I didn't remember everything that happened the first time I read it. But reading it the second time, I was like, oh, like the underdog was
no,
like,
but I could see that because when I read it and read through it, I was like, I think I would want to read through it again just right? So I'm, because it boom, 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 boom. Yeah. A lot of things are happening like each so panel fast. As like so fast. Literally beginning to end. Don't want to spoil it if anybody hasn't read it yet.
So we'll talk about this the next episode. I'm glad I'm halfway through it.
I loved it.
I'm going to continue reading it. Okay. And then I'll go through all three books and we can talk about that next
please
time.
Check in with me. I was just like, I need to freak out about it because that ending was just phenomenal for the first book volume.
I'll probably read it again before we talk about it. But
okay, and now we're going to move on to the segment of Drink of the Day. So today we're drinking, you brought these, it's a fast food, seltzer in a can. So it's a prominent fast food chain, and they make what, mostly?
Slushies, drinks, mixed drinks.
Yeah, and then I love their tater tots. And so, but I'm drinking a mango guava one, 5% alcohol. It's not too bad. It's on 1 to 5, I give this a 3. I would drink it again.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Me too.
A 3. It has a little bit of an aftertaste, but I think it'll go away if it was colder. So, but I'm enjoying it. So for the drink of the day, Noe, good job.
Thank you.
5 stars to you.
Oh, thank you
so much.
We're all drinking different ones. I have an orange pineapple, a little bit too much orange, but not too bad.
I'm drinking one that's my, named after my favorite drink at location.
Yeah.
It's coconut based. And it tastes very, very similar to it. It's not exact, but it's very similar. So I do give it like about a 4 myself. 4. Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty good. I give it a 3.
Really?
No, never been at this fast food chain, but just when it comes to, I'm very particular when it comes to flavored drinks, when it comes to alcohol, because it's just like, it's like synthetic fruit taste, but artificial.
Yeah, artificial.
No, but I like it. I enjoy it.
Now moving on. So these were good. I enjoy it. So thanks, Noe. Yeah, I appreciate
thanks for bringing
it.
These.
Yeah, man.
I got you guys next time.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Let's see what I pick.
I know. It's, you know what? I like this because it's good to have a drink, especially after the weeks we've been having. It's just been nonstop. And I was just like, I had a rough week. I missed a soccer game. And I was, I did everything in my power to get there. And it just the world was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's okay.
Your friend being in town. It was just so much happening in like 2 days.
Let's talk about that. Jonesy.
Jones
was in town. Jonesy is.
Shout out to Jones for bringing you another one, right?
Yeah. So Jonesy's my best friend from California. And I tell everybody that Kevin is Yang and he's Yang. They balance me out as a human. Jonesy is—he's a city guy, and he's always down. He's always got your back. He's just a great person, and so it's been five to seven years that he's been in my life. And my mom also adopted him. She's like, mijo, you know what I mean? Like she brings him in and she loves him as much. And he's reliable. He's part of this family and he knows that I have his back regardless. He found, so I'm collecting a very unique line of collectibles. Monsters, the Universal Monsters and Ninja Turtles did a crossover. And NECA came out with these collectible posable figures.
Coolest thing I've ever seen. I love Halloween, and the fact that we saw only one of them the day that I was making a return, it's like it passed in front of our face and we're like, what is that? And that's when the itch started.
Yeah, I know. And I saw one. It was like that day, it was an itch, and I was like, me and Tina
we went. Get each other.
Yeah, dude, we understand each other. And so we went across town to like
back and forth. We went to three different locations pertaining to the same store, and then like two different locations that were completely opposite, but five stores in total back to back.
Oh really?
To see if we would find it.
Wow.
And we found the first one, and it was the Frankenstein. It was Raffi as Frankenstein. It was great. It was like, oh my god. Then I told Jones, I was like, hey buddy, I call him Jonesito, and I'm like, Jonesito, I'm looking for this. Yeah. Dude, that dude is down anytime he goes out,
and he's lucky.
Yeah, he finds, like, he found me April O'Neil, and then he found me Casey Jones, and then right before he left, he helped me find we found Donnie as the Invisible Man, which is absolutely beautiful. And so I have five out of the seven in the collection. All I'm missing is Leo and Splinter, but they're beautiful. They're so nicely done. And for me, the reason I enjoy them so much is because it's a mixture of film and turtles. And you know I love turtles. It's like it's all over the house. It's one of those things. And so when he was here, he was like my lucky charm. I also found a Mario collectible, a grill. I call it a grill figure. It's something that's really hard to find. We'll talk about it in a future episode when he's here. But I want to bring him in and let him talk about it. I'm going to pause right here. How cool is that? So as we're talking about Jonesy on this episode, he calls, and he's like, I think he had just a gut intuition, like, you know, that's what's going on. You know, his bad senses, no, his spidey sense, sorry, went off, and he called. But great guy. He's always been there for me, and he also collects. He likes those Marvel Select figures. Have you seen those?
Mm-hmm.
They're really nice. And so, what'd you think of Jonesy?
He was pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to really hang out with him, you know, and get to know him a little bit more. But you know, hopefully next time that if he comes out here, you know, I could spend more time with you guys. You know,
there was a lot of chaos at that game. Because of the fact that people were fighting. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were drunk.
Yeah.
I was on a mission to get there.
That's why he came here. He came in to see the USA-Mexico game, which is controversial.
Mm-hmm.
The Mexican head coach got fired.
Did he really?
Yeah. No, he's fired after one game. He only had six training sessions with his team, and because they got the snot beaten out of them, and he's fired after one game, and he left his head coaching job at another club.
Wow.
Really? Yeah, it's sad. But so Jonesy, it was great. Shout out to him. Thank you. I mean, he's so supportive.
Yeah, but like you said, he's always down. I mean, I messaged him, and I was going to pick him up just to go to the stadium, and then I asked him, I was like, did you eat? He's like, no, I'm vibing. I was like, you need to eat. The game starts at 7. You're not going to go all day without eating. So I told him, I was just like, what are you craving? He's like, whatever you're craving. And I was like, you can't do this to me. I need a schedule. I need to know exactly what you're craving.
But Noah's like that too. I'm like, hey, man, let's go do this. He's like,
I just like giving people options. All right,
when? And I was like, I don't know. You tell me. And he's like, and then Noah's like, okay, well, where? And it's like, oh my God. It's like,
and I feel like we're all like that in a sense where it's just like, I'm done.
It's because of our dad. Our dad's very scheduled. He's like, tell me when and where and I'll be there. And we go again. And we expect that from our friends now. Oh. Okay, so moving on. So today's episode's on theme parks. Obviously, we delve into what's been going on in the last. This is our last segment. We're going to talk about the our theme park experiences. We're going to kick it off with you. So you just went to a theme park.
Yes.
Okay.
So I just went to California Adventures, and it was my first time there. I really wanted to go to Disneyland, and it was more because, you know, I wanted to reminisce about the one and only time that I've ever been to Disneyland. Unfortunately, I didn't get the chance to buy tickets for Disney, so I was like, I'll get the first thing that's available, and it was California Adventures.
And you went with your kids, right?
And I went with my kids.
What'd they think?
Oh, they loved it.
Yeah. Was that their first time?
It wasn't my oldest daughter's first time. She went with the school, I want to say earlier this year or the school year or last year.
Okay.
Last school year.
What was your favorite attraction?
Yeah.
My favorite attraction.
You've been there before, right?
No, it was my first time.
Oh, wow.
It was my very first
time. I remember when my sister would take me when I was little, and really? It was just so small. But now to see how much they've like added to the park, uh-huh. What was your favorite?
My favorite attraction has to be Radiator Springs.
Yes.
I loved the look of that place. It looks like a little town in the middle of
real,
nowhere.
Right?
It's very immersive.
It looks amazing.
Very immersive. You actually feel like you're in Arizona. Is that like
it's totally California, Arizona. So it's modeled after Route 66, and so and driving the old road, and Route 66 is in a straight line because it was meant for, you know, cruising, and so
it feels beautiful.
Like you're someone you do get transported to another location. It feels, it's crazy. Disney does these things,
right?
And then they do forced perspective on a lot of their buildings and stuff, which helps you. And so you turn into a child, right?
Right.
And then you did you guys do the radiator the racing?
Race? Yes, we did.
And what'd your girls think?
Mike loved it. I thought it was amazing. Like, I mean, it's nothing like a roller coaster, you know what you're used to, like Magic Mountain per se.
Yeah.
But it's still fun. It's amazing, you know. It's just the view of the place, the scenery, you know, everything looks so beautiful. Everything looks so amazing. It looks like you're transported into the movie, you know.
Especially with how much they go out, not just for like the seasons. Like right now, I know that like summer they don't really decorate a lot, but like if you were to go back and like around Halloween time or like the winter time, I was like, those big cones that you see where they serve the food, it's like they decorate those with a bunch of lights and everything. It's just amazing.
I love holidays at theme parks. So when you were growing up, what was the first time you went to a theme park? What's your earliest memory of a theme park?
So my first theme park was Disneyland. I could say that I was very scared, that I was very, I didn't enjoy it because as a kid, I don't know what it was.
How old were you?
I don't remember. I had to be like 3 or 4 years old. So everything was like vertigo for me. So any ride I got on, like the world was spinning around me. And so I did not enjoy it.
Yeah. That's too early. Yeah. That's too early.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then did you go throughout your teenage years or no?
So no, you know, that was one of those things that was more like a luxury for my parents. So they never took us. You know, it wasn't something that was important, so I never went. My first time as a teenager going was to Magic Mountain, and that experience was I was scared because I would see these giant rides. I would see Free Fall, which is like a tiny little thing now compared to other things that I've gotten on, and I still have not gotten on it. When I would see it, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to get in this box and drop down and stuff. And now I'm like, I get on like what's that ride at Knott's Berry Farm, the one that takes you up and then drops you?
Supreme Screen. I grew up at Knott's Berry Farm. But it's completely opposite of your experience where you actually would were intimidated to go before, but now you do it now.
Yeah.
Completely opposite for me. I would go on it repeatedly when I would go to these theme parks, and now that I'm older, it's just like frontal lobes fully developed.
That sounds like my daughter, my oldest. Yeah. So when she was,
can I just say, she looks so excited in her photographs. Yes. I'm being sarcastic for the listeners. In every photo, she looks like Wednesday Addams. She's just like, she's got the 1,000-yard stare. And I was like, I texted this guy. I was like, is everything okay? Like, hey, what's going on? Like,
are you holding her against her?
Yeah, no. She.
No, but I'm sure she appreciates it without even really like saying it.
It was like a happy family and then the Mona Lisa.
Is she smiling?
No, she's like, is that a smile?
Oh, I saw one of those pictures. Yeah, I did.
Like, or is it a smirk? And I was like, what's going on?
You remember when I was like at 16, 17, and you'd like, take me to these theme parks.
And I was just like,
he'd be like, are you okay? And I'd be like, no, the world is dark.
She was like a little Daria. Did you ever watch that on MTV, that cartoon?
Daria? No, I probably caught one episode or two.
Pessimistic, dark little student. And I was just like, oh my God, what's going on?
When real life hits you, you know, you're just like, I'm here.
But you had a great time. And did you get on the Web Slingers?
I did. Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I forgot about that.
It was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
pretty
cool.
Very interactive.
We did
that as our outro to leave California.
So I had a bunch of passes because as an employee to the Mouse, they give you gratuity passes if you're a good employee, and then that you can use at any time throughout the year. And so I had stockpiled these, and prior to us departing California, I just did a bunch of trips with the Diff family, and I'm like, hey, let's everyone's like, yeah, you're gonna take us, let's go. And so
we had a really busy last two weeks in California.
Yeah. And then the very last visit to California Adventure, we made it a point to get on Web Slingers, and yours truly won because I don't like to lose. It's fun. It's a fun thing. And so I had a great time. So I'm glad you had a great time. Do you have anything negative?
No, but just to add to that other comment that we were talking about, my Wednesday was
right now.
The Web Slingers game.
Did she really?
She did.
She did.
I was like, I'm gonna play a little clip that you're gonna give us, and everyone's gonna hear it except you.
Okay.
And can you talk to us about the clip that you're gonna share with us? Sorry.
So, we just got off the Soaring ride, and we were very impressed, very elated about that ride. How do you guys feel? Thing one?
There's only two in thing one and thing two, and there's three of us, though.
It'll be thing one, thing two, and thing three.
Okay. It was cool because you can smell different smells when you were going to different states. I mean, well, not states, what were they? Countries?
Countries, yeah.
Different countries. So it was really cool.
What about you, thing two?
I liked it because, like, I felt like you were actually, like, flying.
Thing three, what do you think about Soaring?
I think it was really fun. I thought I was going to be scary because, like, I don't really like the heights, but it was actually pretty fun. Not really scary. You guys, if you ever come to California Adventure, you guys should try it. Wow, it's really fun.
There you go, guys.
Now we're back. And so in this clip, you interviewed thing one, thing two, and thing three.
Yes.
And
I interviewed them. I actually did a couple clips. Well, I'll have to show them all to you. But it was pretty much, you know, me interviewing them, you know, how they felt about the rides. I think I really enjoyed, I think it's Soaring. That's an amazing ride.
And it was so beautiful. Is it over California or is it over the world now?
It's over the world now.
Okay, yes.
Do they do the California every once in a while?
Yeah, they do.
The California one's nice.
Yeah, because I love smelling the orange groves.
Yes.
And so so Disney has something called Smell-O-Vision. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they pump different smells into the theme park in different locations to kind of emit certain feelings. So like sometimes when you smell the popcorn, it smells so good. It's all synthetic.
Is it really?
Yes.
That's crazy. Do they do it with
corn dogs? That's my life.
Yeah.
So to attract people like, ooh, it's time for some popcorn. Let's go get some popcorn or something.
They do the same thing on some of their attractions, like Haunted Mansion, when they do the holiday version.
The gingerbread. Oh, my God. Yeah. I always buy gingerbread candles, and I was like, it's never going to smell like Disneyland.
No. And then, so in Soarin', you can smell, and over the world, you can smell the dirt as you see the elephants.
And the grass.
And then the water.
And the water.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yes. No. And so.
Well, like flowers when you're like flying. I don't know if it's Fiji that you're flying over,
yeah,
but it smells like the flowers. Yeah. It smells amazing.
Yeah. And did the kids like it?
They did.
Yes.
Yeah, they enjoyed it. That was the first ride we got on.
It's all those little details that really set Disney apart. Yeah. And so now we're gonna move on to me. I'm gonna talk about my experiences when I was a kid. My introduction was Disneyland. Yeah. My grandma had a sneaky link that would get us in, and people would think I was lying. You know, I'd go to school and show and tell. I went to Disneyland, but I would go to Disneyland every weekend, and people were like, "Okay, little Nate."
Yeah, his experience is different than mine. But he grew up at Disneyland.
I grew up at Disneyland. Yeah, you know when they opened Toontown, I was in a group of kids as we're walking into Toontown. Like, and so I feel like I had so much dumb luck growing up.
You mean the group of kids that like for the commercial?
No.
Oh,
so they did. There was like, I think it was KKL9. It was one of the radio stations, one of the TV stations or radio stations were there, and they had all of us in white T-shirts, and we walked into Toontown as it was being open, and it was like,
stop.
yeah, and my grandma was like, go, she's like, be brave. And I was just like, yeah, I'll be brave. It was great. But I had a lot of exposure to Disney really young, and I didn't really understand how fortunate I was until I was older, because I was like, I realized that it was a luxury that a lot of people didn't have. And so it also, what it did was, I'm not a fan of the theme park itself. I was more of a fan of the man, because this guy was considered a genius at age 30. You know, look at all that he created. And the funny thing is that he didn't create the theme park for him and his daughters. He created it for his grandkids, because he was thinking so far ahead. He got the idea from taking his kid to his daughters to a park, and there was a carousel, and then seeing all the raunchy places that there was, like fairs and stuff, he didn't like. He wanted a safe place, and that's why the design is what it is. And so I just became intrigued you know, with his life and finding out why he did things. Like, I know why the trash cans are so far apart, and I know what his favorite meal was and stuff like that. It's really odd.
What do you mean the trash cans being far apart?
So the trash cans have an exact distance from each other. You know why? Because at Disneyland, they used to have hot dog vendors, and he loved hot dogs. So he would sleep in the firehouse, which is where his office and his spare apartment were, and he'd walk down, grab a hot dog, and he would see how many steps it would take for him to finish that hot dog. And he needed to throw away the trash because it came on these little paper like sleeves. And so, yeah, it's amazing, right? And even that, and that's why you have about every 15 to 20 paces, you have a trash can, because that's how long it takes you to consume a hot dog. Blow your mind.
That's pretty cool.
That's obsessively...
it's well thought out.
Like, it is, like, the attention to detail. No, you know, yeah. It's just a little obsessive.
And so, a man... Well, when I read about him when I was like 9, and I was like, oh, he has quirks and glitches like I do. So I became more obsessed with him because I realized that I wasn't alone. Because mm-hmm. for so long in my childhood, I felt alone, but I related to this man so well. And when I would talk to older people about this, I was like, oh, do you know the first, the only president to ever commemorate an attraction here? And they listen to me and they're like, no, tell us. And they're like, how do you know that? And I was like, I read about it in this book. And then back then, Google wasn't a thing, so everyone was just in awe, right? It's like, this 9-year-old's teaching this thing. And so, but there's just weird little things, little tidbits about him. Like, his favorite meal was, he loved a fully loaded baked potato and some chili. And he would go to this specific diner in downtown Anaheim and had it almost every day. Yeah, and he loved nature. And he was very appreciative of everything that happened because he learned from his trials and tribulations. And he didn't let those moments define him. And so you can always admire a person like that. Even though there is a lot of negativity out there now. They're like, oh, you blah, blah, blah. I don't listen to that. I want to see my perspective. And I want to appreciate him for who he was and what he created. Because even now, my mom is a huge Disney fan. My family loves Disney. My dad loves Disney. And he's a very unemotional character. Because of my exposure to theme parks and this person, I'm grateful. And so that was my theme parks. And I've been going to theme parks ever since. I had annual passes while I was going to college for Universal, Knott's, and Disney. So
yeah, growing up where we did, we were very fortunate to be not too far off from Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, Universal Studios. My parents, although I didn't grow up going to Disneyland so frequently, mine was like Knott's Berry Farm, and that was mostly like towards middle school, where it was anywhere between like 8th and 9th grade. Between those 2 years, I felt like I was going maybe once a week because passes are so cheap. $10 a month, I would take the bus. Like, we used to live in Huntington Beach, where I would literally take the bus down like a long street. It would take me 30-40 minutes to get there, but it's just hit up a friend, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to go to Knott's? And we just go and get on all the rides, and it'd be a weekday, go after school sometimes. Just, it was just a completely different experience, especially when it came to like summer times and going with the family to Universal Studios, taking a Coca-Cola can to get a discount on tickets.
Yeah, no, I feel spoiled because having that annual pass, sometimes I just go to theme park to have dinner.
Me too.
Yeah, because...
And they're foodie fests.
Yeah, and you just go there, you buy a meal, and you just sit there and people watch.
The Boysenberry Festivals.
Yeah.
They used to have just random food events, and now that I got older, I'd add parking to it. Still monthly payments, but I mean, it increased from like $10 a month to like $20 a month. Mm-hmm. So worth it. But whenever they had those foodie events, I'd go eat a meal or two, have a dessert, especially around like the holidays. The kids also had passes, and then go home.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we went to Disneyland as like our outro of leaving California, where we did a day at Disney from beginning to end, that I realized how exhausting it used to be there from like open to close, when you really have to do
everything. Yeah, because you have like, you, that's the thing is, you know, we were spoiled, like I was telling you, mm-hmm. but when you do rope drop to close, that's horrible on your body. Yeah, and then you fed yourself nothing but turkey legs and popcorn. Dude, and you're just had, like, over it.
What, we ate everything. We fed mom everything. Corn dogs, the chimichangas, mac and cheese. What else did we have? Everything that we would never really eat. Like, we're just like, mom, here, eat it. And she'd be like, oh, it's good. Give us a big thumbs up. It's just, we would just not do that.
So, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed California Adventure. I love California Adventure. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. I enjoy the layout for California Adventure. I love the Credit Coaster. It's great.
That was my favorite. You know,
did you smell the cookies?
I did not. Oh. You were telling me about that, but I didn't notice it. Like, I was so excited with the ride. And what I was most excited about was my little girl. I'm going to tell you a little bit about an experience that I had with her. So we took her to Knott's. I think it was a year ago. We love getting on Ghost Rider. It's one of our favorite rides.
That's a scary ride.
And we thought it was such a great idea to get these kids on the Ghost Rider. And it was like the first ride they get on. Oh my God.
That one shakes you like a rag doll.
Yeah. It was the worst idea because they were like, nope, we're not getting on anything else.
It has a record for largest or fastest wooden roller coaster in Southern California. And it's all wood and it whips you around.
It does.
Those
corners are sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm surprised that it's still up because this thing is raggedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone thinks that it clicks and it creaks because it's part of the attraction.
They love to joke about termites. They're like, yeah, you hear that creaking?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to hear it.
I'm just like, I hope they QA this thing.
You know, so regularly. I remember when they inaugurated that ride. I mean, I never went to it when I was a kid, but I remember the commercials on TV, you know, when I lived in Southern California, but I always wanted to get on it. So when I got the chance, it just became one of my favorite rides. And that is, and the Silver Bullet are amazing.
Yeah.
So anyways, so telling you about, you know, that experience, you know, she faints on the ride. And she refused to get on anything else.
Wait. She fainted on Incredicoaster?
No, she fainted on the Ghost Rider.
Oh, God, that's so bad.
Drop
was... that your concern about taking her on Incredicoaster? Yes, did she faint?
Yes.
The littlest one, right?
The littlest one, yes.
What, she went limp?
She went limp, yes. I was not sitting next to her. It was actually...
That's not healthy, bro.
Yeah, it was my oldest daughter that was sitting next to her.
She got so scared that she went limp.
Full circle moment. Frontal lobe development has slowed down.
Yeah, I don't think it slowed down for her. I felt so bad for her. Like, I was...
Buddy, why would you do that to her?
My sister almost fainted on Silver Bullet.
Our sister is also delicate.
I slapped her awake because that's my sister, but a little child.
Can you imagine slapping her awake? He's like, get up. And she's like, you slap her, she goes straight down.
You hear from the...
She's like 50 pounds wet. She's a little
she's
kid.
Tiny.
Yeah.
And Incredicoaster is just a lap bar, right? Or not the lap bar, it's just a harness, mm-hmm. nothing on the lap.
No. Nothing on the lap.
Yeah.
No. And you go upside down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
did she get on?
She did. So she braved it. So I tell her, she says, Dad, I don't want to get on. I said, you don't have to get on it. I said, and I told my other kids, I'm like, hey, you guys go first, and I'm going to kind of like let people go in front of me until you guys come back, and then I'll let one of you take the girls and the other one, you could try to jump back on and ride with me. And then we went on a couple of the rides, and she says, Dad, I'm going to get on it.
I'm
like, you are? I'm like, you don't have to get on it. She's like, no, I'm going to get on it. I was like, okay, let's do it.
And how'd she handle it?
Oh, she did close her eyes.
She did.
You know, she was scared. But once she got off, she was like, this was actually really good.
Aww.
And she wanted to get on it again.
Did you end up exit part of the attraction they have? They sell Jack Jack's cookies, mm-hmm. which is...
Did you guys...
It's literally like 8 inches in diameter.
And it's like 2 inches thick.
They sell the cookies?
Yeah, they sell the cookies.
I never even saw that.
And you can buy a carton of milk with it. It's delicious.
Yeah. No, I can't do milk.
No?
No.
Okay. Well,
he's like, I would have called it a day right then and there.
Me need like milk
for like 2 weeks.
No, it was it's one of those things where it's one of my favorite little snacks.
Again, attention to detail too. It like ties into the ride. Like, you smell the cookies, you get off. It's like, hey, a cookie smells mm-hmm. good, and the stand's right there.
Yeah.
No, it was great. My recent theme park experience, I went back to Universal and I got into Toad's Cafe, and I'm sorry to say, it was completely disappointing. It's beautiful. So aesthetically, it's the most beautiful and intricate food you'll see. But it's the worst tasting. Like, the burger was dry.
Really?
The cake was dry. It's like they were housing it for a week. And you can tell.
They're probably like, we've been getting slammed. We got to start meal prepping.
Yeah, no. And then I also ordered the tomato. I love tomato.
Yeah.
They had a tomato soup in a mushroom head, you know, in a toad head. And it was cool. And so it looked beautiful.
Like Toad's face was on it?
Yeah.
That's kind of...
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
It's like you're eating his brains.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, I didn't care. It looked cool. And I was
that
like...
That does sound cool.
And so... Because I caught literally like 12 menu items. And I was like, I need to try all these.
Yeah.
And after trying it, I was just like, this is the worst. the tomato... No, the tomato soup tasted like... It tasted like ketchup.
Oh my god, that's
marinara
bad.
Sauce, and it was just bad. So we're continuing because the computer died on us, and I was scared that we had lost all progress. So, but I was telling you guys about Toad's Cafe, and I had just told you it tasted like ketchup and marinara sauce. I was disappointed in all the food, but definitely an experience, and I can say I did it. Definitely overhyped. So I see it dying down in about a year because I did not see one happy family eating it at all. The boba tea. They have the Toad's Boba, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It tastes exactly the same. Do you guys go to Del Taco?
Yeah.
They do this like grapefruit with a they call it like grapefruit bubble juice or whatever. Tastes exactly the same. Mm. So you're not missing out on much. And so
what do you rate it?
On a 1 to 5, I rated a 1.
Oh, not bad.
Wow. Yeah. So I definitely would never eat there.
Food quality was very low.
Yeah. Well, my thing was, I was disappointed. So aesthetically, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But I was like, literally, I ordered a beef brisket or something, mm-hmm. and it was no larger than a chicken nugget, and it was the most expensive item on the meal.
Wow.
And it tasted like cheap beef stroganoff that you buy in a can.
Oh man.
It looked cool when they delivered it.
Yeah.
They make a presentation out of it.
Yeah.
But definitely not worth it. So if you're hyped to go and you can wait, I highly recommend waiting. And so that's my latest theme park thing. Have you done anything theme parks related recently?
Recently, no. The last theme park I was at was Universal Studios for Horror Nights. So it's been almost a year. I haven't been.
They're opening up a satellite maze here for Universal Studios. They're doing, I think it's the Monster Maze. Yeah, so it's in the Europe, in the Area 15. So it's going to be fun. There's a lot of theme park things and attractions that are showing up that are going to show up in the next couple of years. Vegas is just blowing up lately.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to theme parks, I feel like I was very fortunate as to where we lived and how much I could take advantage of it. When it came to Horror Nights, I felt like that was mostly my main focus. So when it came to the season passes during Horror Nights, I felt like it was just more worth it, paying like $120 a night to attend either Horror Nights or Scary Farm. And then their season passes are like $180.
Who does Horror Nights?
Universal. Okay. And they always have a theme.
You know what? Talking about theme parks, I have to talk about Legoland. I have to.
Legoggeddon.
Yeah.
There's always
It's not Legoggeddon. We'll call it Legoland Chaos. So prior to moving to Nevada, and we've been here for 18 months.
Yeah.
We were doing a big theme park run. Oh, God, this car. My other friend told me too. She's like, it's Nevada.
It's Nevada.
Okay. I'm gonna table this right now. We were doing like a theme park basically run. We were going through all the major theme parks and it's like, let's get it in while we can. And you get special discounts being a Southern California resident.
Yeah.
And so it was my niece's birthday and we decided, you want to go to Legoland? Cause she was obsessed with Legoland. They had, did you ever see the Legoland, the Lego play sets, the Friends play sets they're tailored to little girls.
No, I never have. Where at?
Whenever you go to like, let's say Target or Walmart or like Kohl's, you'll see like the sets. If you go to like to the girl section, or I mean like just Lego in general, you'll see Lego Friends, and it's like in cursive, and they have like playground themes or like hot tub themes. It's like a mixture of like their version of Barbie and Legos. We got her into it because we were buying her smaller sets. I think they were ranging between like $5 and $10. And there was like a campsite and she would build them so fast.
Yeah, there was a TikToker that what's his name, Bricklink, I think. No, there's a TikToker that focuses on Legos, and for her birthday I ordered a set, and what he did was he created a video with her and he shouted out, he's like, hey, we're packing up your friend's set. And so because he has very specific Legos, and he sells all his stuff through I can't remember the website, but it's a known reselling website for Lego minifigs and other things and missing items, because when you have Legos, you know, you build Legos, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when you miss like the one little tower piece or something, and it's like, so you don't want to go buy a whole other set. And so recently Lego actually purchased this website, and so now it's part of the Lego, you know, trifecta. But she was really into it, and we decided, let's take her.
Mm-hmm.
And
to Legoland Park in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
because they were dedicating a whole corner to just Lego Friends.
Oh, really?
So tailored to like little girls.
Oh.
And then they had another corner that they had just opened up that was tailored to the Lego Movie, and I was like, "Say less, I'm there." I was like, "I'm excited."
That's actually Tina's favorite film is the Lego Movie.
I will never get tired of it.
Oh, okay. The Lego, awesome. I have not seen it.
My guilty pleasure.
Did you see Lego Batman?
No, I.
Oh my!
They're so funny. Ninjago.
Yeah.
So funny.
Are you available this week? Let's start a movie night. You know
what? Can we do a Lego Movie night?
Yeah, let's do a movie night this week. I don't know when you're available. I'm thinking like
Friday.
No. Oh. Probably. Are you available tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Let's watch Lego Batman.
Okay.
If you want, we can go to your house since you're closer to work.
Okay.
And then that way, do you have your girls tomorrow?
No, I don't.
You can come over here.
Yeah, I'll come over here.
Because we have actually a humidor now, and we have fresh cigars. Another one of our hobbies. But what we can do is, I want you to watch the Lego Movie or the Batman Lego Movie.
Okay.
Just the comedy is just so, I don't want to say bland, but it's like so to the point where like some people wouldn't understand it. It's just like right over your head, but it's just like so funny and so literal. When I tell you, like, let me just spoil the beginning, he's reading instructions on how to start his day, and he literally goes step by step. He's like, go outside and take a breath of fresh air, and he literally like leans all the way back. He's like, it's just so funny.
And then the Lego Batman Movie is hilarious. They're so creatively written, and they're so engaging, and they're unexpectedly good. And the stories are never boring, and they're all different. Because I feel like a lot of also entertainment that's tailored to children is so simple now. It's not as complex as it was for us. And because I feel like they needed, because kids have so much exposure to so much media, mm-hmm. they want simplified things. Like, that's why TikTok's so popular. 10 seconds of pleasure. Their storylines. If you look at most of the child programming that's on like YouTube Kids, and like today we're gonna walk the dog, this is how we walk the dog, mm-hmm. you know, videos in 20 seconds and then that's it, whereas we had to have 45 minutes of programming with 15 minutes of commercials
to get to the point.
Yeah, and to get to the point, because if we weren't engaged, because that's all we had was TV, and these kids have media everywhere. So that's why there is a rising of like social media like TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, when Facebook and MySpace started, you needed to write a bio, and you needed to write about your post, and it needed to be in depth, mm-hmm. and you needed to have 3 friends, you know, proofread it, because you wanted to make sure that you didn't sound like an idiot.
Yeah, but it's the whole stimulation thing. Like, you'll even see the kids sometimes when they're watching a YouTube video, they just skim through it and they're not mm-hmm. actually watching it. It's like you're missing the whole point of the video.
So back to what we took, Legoland. My niece.
Legoland.
We took her to Legoland because they had a friend section. And it was, we also, my uncle and our cousin and my aunt, and we all went, and it was a big group. And I think me and Tina were wiling out.
Foaming at the mouth.
Do you remember when Nati left the machine and she was super on a sugar high? Mm. And she was just like screaming? Mm-hmm. That was me and Tina.
No sugar needed. We literally hopped out of the car. We started running towards the entrance.
Yeah.
Really? I don't want to say we exaggerated, but it's just like we were so excited. So excited. I already knew where I wanted to go, but that was at the back of the park. So I had to wait for my turn.
I remember that day vividly. We went to breakfast and I was just like, I don't even want to eat. I just want to get there because I had never been. Legos, I've always been appreciative of Legos, but they've always been out of my price range when I was younger because they were expensive. They only started actually theming them in like 2007, 2008. I think the first set was like a pirate theme. And so by that time, I was already out of high school, or it might have been sooner. But I remember I was older when they started, and then Star Wars, they started doing Star Wars sets and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, incredibly creative. Because for a long time, Legos were simple. And now I think the cost per pound per Lego is equivalent to the cost of filet mignon. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds crazy.
Well, I mean, the first themed one was Town Plan, which was 1955. But that was like their smaller ones. They didn't get into like major films until like early 2000s.
Yeah. So when I did that, I remember seeing them as I got older. And I was like, why are they tailoring it to adults? Because that's what it is, right? And just smart. So when we went to Legoland, I was just going crazy, because as you walk in, you get into Ninjago land. And I'm not even a Ninjago fan.
I've only seen the movie. I'm not a Ninjago fan either, but that movie is so funny.
I haven't seen it really.
The Lego Ninjago.
Yeah. Lego, okay. Ninjago.
I've never seen any Lego movies. I think I played a little bit of like the Star Wars Lego, or I've seen somebody play. I
finished the Harry Potter Lego. Really? So did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. The video games for Lego is crazy. So we went, we had fun. My niece, she's kind of timid, right? And she's shy and she's reserved. And so she wants to play it safe because she's very like, I want to do things that I know I'll complete and then I'll feel good about myself. And it's just her mentality. I'm going to complete it, but it's going to be something I'm comfortable with. So we get into the kids' land and she's like, oh my God, yay. And I was just like, oh yeah, get on the little choo-choo train. It's literally a little train that goes in a big figure eight and made out of Legos. And she gets on and I'm like, it's her birthday. And I start yelling like, and everyone's like, yeah, happy birthday. I'm like, she's looking for a husband because we can't put up with her anymore.
She did the hardest face bomb.
She smacked her face so hard. There was a red spot because she's just like so embarrassed. And then so she puts her head in between her legs and she's trying to curl up in the fetal position while sitting in this little choo-choo train because all the little kids are laughing. And she gets off and she just looks at me and she's like, you are embarrassing me. And I was just
that
like,
was the first day where she's just like, you are no longer cool, you're just an embarrassment to me and my name.
Yeah. And I was just like, I was like singing like happy birthday to the new bride, you know. It's just like, and everyone was laughing and the conductor was like, because he has a little mic, and he's just like, thank you so much for letting us know it's her birthday, happy birthday young one. And she's just like, oh my God. And it just made it worse because, you know, it was an announcer, he had a mini PA system. And so, but I feel like theme parks in general, they're meant to bring families together and create memories like that.
Yeah.
Not just Disney, not just Knott's, but places like Legoland.
And even like Legoland, that's a children's park. Like, it's small rides. There's nothing aggressive, nothing hard about it. It's just the ideas of like,
hey, yeah, that submarine. I went down under, bro. I love that ride. That's a hard ride. I was like, oh my God, because I swear I have claustrophobia. And you're going under and it's like, how deep are we?
Me the entire time was just like, let's go lower. No, but they have like a little submarine ride, but and then you're spotting the Lego pieces. So you're pretty much, I don't know if you've ever played, I've heard of the I Spy books.
No.
So back in the
90s. You didn't read any of the I Spy books?
Dude, they're beautiful. Yeah. They are literally a work of art because they're made by photographers.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is gonna go into illustration.
Yeah, we're gonna talk literature. Actually, I'm gonna get you a digital version of I Spy book, and I'm gonna send it to you, and then that way you can watch it on your tablet.
I recently revisited that because we had like a whole thing at work where we were talking about nostalgia, and I brought that up, and nobody remembers it. And I was like, that was probably so beautiful. But anyway, back to the point. Submarine, you're pretty much going under, and you're playing a game on the touchpad for each family that sits in the corner, and you're trying to spot like the hidden pieces underwater.
Yeah, and it records as you spot. If you're spotting him in the right
location. So you're pretty much completing a punch card, which is really cute.
Yeah, no, I think it's creative, right? Theme parks in general, I've never ever been to a theme park that I didn't enjoy. You know, and
even with Adventureland.
Yeah, no, like even the small Adventureland's been there since like the 80s and they keep keeping it up.
Yeah.
Adventureland's like a little tiny.
It's right next to Medieval Times. You went to Medieval Times.
It's wide, right on
the beach. I think I've Boulevard. Been to it.
Yeah, I love it. They kept it up.
It's tiny, right?
It's great.
Small. Yeah.
My kid, when I lived there, if I didn't have anything planned, I'd take her there because she can run around freely and just jump on the rides. Mm-hmm. Don't get on the roller coaster.
The roller coaster will toss you around like a ragdoll. Yeah, it's aggressive. It's small. It reminds me of Goofy's Fly School. Because the turns sharp.
Here's the thing about Goofy's Fly School. I don't think that was ever meant to be ridden by adults.
You probably right about that. The
tracks say otherwise.
Yeah, because it's like, it comes so close to your hair. It's like, and you're like, what's going on? And like, every time I ride Goofy's, I come out and my hip is cramping. And I'm just like, and that's, I know.
The seats are perfectly 90 degrees, and it's just like, my legs need to stretch.
Especially because, like, I'm built oddly. I have a longer torso, so, and then my legs went up, and so I get cramps in my hips. And so, like, but that ride, the adventure one, is worse than Goofy's Fly School.
Really?
And then worse. The one at Knott's is even worse than the one at Goofy's Fly School, because now they added a bar to the shins, because I don't know if, like, little kids were too short. Mm-hmm. So now you literally have to sit at a 90 degree angle. Your legs literally have to go straight across and straight down. Oof. You can't extend your legs forward because they're putting a bar on your shins.
Yeah.
That one, never again. Got the worst hip cramp too, so I was kind of really? Like sitting in there trying to like get out of the seat.
I want to say that I know I've been there.
Where?
Adventureland.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe that I've been there before, because it's in Anaheim, right?
Yes.
It's like right around Disney. No, yeah,
it's Port Sarita. It's not Buena Park. Is it Buena Park?
I thought it was right around the corner from Disney.
No. Adventureland is right Anaheim. Is that considered Anaheim?
It's considered Anaheim. Yeah. The shape of Anaheim is so it's weird, because so it like
goes it's long.
Into, it's long and it's like goes into like crescents, and it's just like, what is Anaheim? But yeah, it's considered Anaheim.
Yeah.
Back to the point. I think we all have positive memories of theme parks. Mm-hmm. You know, I think even the listeners, I don't think people go to theme parks to have a bad time. There's always food. You're always with family or friends. I think anybody that goes knowingly, they know how much they're going to spend. You're going to spend money. There's no way around it. From the minute you purchase those tickets, you are committing to small debt. that's what you're doing. There's so many TikTokers that cover that now. It's like, per family, per day, you're going to spend per individual $300. It's
I
like,
oh, man. I always loved theme parks. You played Roller Coaster Tycoon a lot growing up, so I was just always intrigued by theme parks, even though I didn't really grow up at the time going.
Yeah.
So just seeing it like in person once I started actively going in middle school.
What's your happiest memory from a theme park? Like, what's a moment that sticks out in your mind? Do you want me to go first?
Go first.
Or do you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
So when I first joined the military, most of my stories start with the military. I left kind of abruptly in my youth when it came to my relationship with my youngest sibling. She was only 5. I was 17. When I came back, one of the first times I came back, had a lot of money in my pocket because I was on deployment. You make so much money on deployment. I told my mom, I was like, hey, I want to take her to Disneyland. And she's like, are you serious? You have that much money? I was spoiled as a kid. Earlier in the episode, we talked about how much I went to Disneyland. To me, it was a common thing. And she's like, all right, we won't tell your dad. She let me have Tina ditch school. And Tina's in like the first grade. And the first thing we would do is go to IHOP and
have breakfast.
I wouldn't just get Tina like a kid's breakfast. No. I'd be like, bring me a 20 sack of pancakes and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, what is this? You know, is it Hanukkah? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, because I didn't grow up going to like IHOP or Denny's or like there's really? Always food at home. Mm-hmm. So the fact that anytime my brother was in town, I was just like, oh, I'm going to be in a food coma by 12 o'clock.
So
because I knew my day was starting at like 7, 8 in the morning.
Yeah, really? I'm a morning riser. I would take her to, one of my best memories is I'd take her to Disneyland. We'd have fun. We'd play all day. She'd be tired around 4 o'clock. I'd be like, hey, do you want to go see a movie? And then we go to the movie right afterwards. One of the movies that sticks out in my head is we watched Meet the Robinsons, which I think is still to this day my favorite Disney film. Yeah, no, it's intelligent. We would watch Meet the Robinsons and then go to dinner. And then she'd come home. She had 3 squares. Of course, my metabolism's fast at the time because I'm lugging equipment and stuff in service, so I don't care what I'm eating. I'm just hungry all the time. That's one of my favorite memories, is being able to share my youth with my youngest sibling at an integral point in her youth. Right, because I created core memories. Mm-hmm. I showed her that even though I was away, I cared enough to try to create something, you know, a memory. I didn't just come home and go hang out with my friends. I came home to do things with my family, because I realized really early on in my career was that it was those moments that helped carry you through hard moments. And so that's my memory.
I never thought about it that way, like, you know, sharing with family. But now that you say that, it's kind of funny. So my nieces and myself are about, my oldest niece is about 10 years younger than me. Just what you just said about you hanging out with Tino is like, that's kind of what I remember. Like, I'd be like, hey, let's go. Like, I never had my parents take me, you know, like I said before, like, they couldn't afford it, or it was just like, no, like a luxury for them.
Yeah, because it's like, we're honestly first generation Americans. Mm-hmm. You were doing the same thing I was doing, which was creating, trying to make it better for the youngers.
Yeah.
For the young ones in our family. So you used to take your nieces.
So I would take my nieces.
That's amazing.
Yeah. My three oldest nieces. My nephew, I never took my nephew because he was a little bit younger. He was a baby.
How old were they?
So I think when I took them, the first time I took them, it was about 2006, 2005. So I think the youngest one was about 12 years old. The middle one was about 14.
So it almost mirrors the ages of your daughters now.
Yeah.
Another full circle moment.
A lot of coincidences.
Yeah, when it comes to ages. That's good though, dude. You probably, do they ever talk to you about it?
You know what? They don't talk about it, but what they do is, they appreciate the times I like all the stuff that I did with them, and so now they do it with my kids.
Oh, dude,
you reap what you sow, and that's amazing. And the fact that you can have those memories,
I think about most of the times that you used to take me to theme parks before, like even our parents used to take us to theme parks. I don't think dad's the time that our dad returned to Disneyland was when before we moved to from California to Las Vegas. But any time before that, it was years. Like, dad would never go. Mom doesn't drive. So it was when my brother used to come into town and just take me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it was, I've always been appreciative of any form of art. And I think theme parks are the biggest form of art. They're so immersive. It doesn't matter where you go. I've been to Universal Studios Orlando. I went to Disney Shanghai. And just, really? Yeah, man, I've
I think that's one of the places I want to go.
It's beautiful. It was brand new, so there was only literally two attractions in the entire theme park.
Really?
Yeah. But things like that, right? It's always been a part of my life, and that's why I wanted to dedicate an episode so we can talk about it, because, and then people to share. I would love it if the listeners would, you know, leave us a comment or tell us, hey, like, their story, because ultimately, it's, I don't think I've ever met a person that doesn't enjoy them. Or maybe there are people, but just in my circle of friends, everyone always has some funny story, some niece that they embarrass on a little kid train.
And it doesn't just have to revolve around the rides. Even us, we would just go for like the art shows and the food and just walking around enjoying just the...
Something about the food always... I loved Knott's Berry Farm does the Berry Fest.
It's been getting bigger.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They have like a beer festival now.
It's in the fall.
Oh, it's in the fall.
Yeah, so Knott's has a cool story too. So I'm obviously obsessed with backstories to everything. And the Knott's Family Farm, Mrs. Knott, have you ever had their fried chicken?
No, I never have.
That's her recipe.
Really?
So if you eat it in the restaurant, that's her recipe for her bread. So you know that the Knott's family invented the boysenberry.
They invented it?
Yes.
What?
Yes. It's one of those things that they did.
So it was like a hybrid berry. A hybrid.
Yeah. Okay. It's a hybrid between, I can't remember right now, but it's two berries and they crossbred it and they make it. Wow. That's why when you get the little Knott's cookies from like a vending machine.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed boysenberry? That's theirs.
Yeah. No, I've noticed that it's anything that comes from them is boysenberry. I think they do strawberry too, though.
The boysenberry was developed in the early 1920s by horticulturist Rudolph Boysen of Anaheim, California, who later turned it over to farmer Walter Knott for commercial development.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's there.
It stayed in the family and that farm turned into a theme park.
Wow. Yeah. And then, but so if you eat on
those cookies.
If you eat on property, they have right outside, you don't have to actually go inside. Mm-hmm. They have a Knott's Berry Farm restaurant. Mm-hmm. The fried chicken and the boysenberry pie. It's always fresh.
We also have boysenberry funnel cakes.
I'll have to take my kids one day because I've always seen the restaurant, but it's always one of those things where you're trying to save money and you're like, well, I'm going to take them to the theme park and, you know, maybe if they want to eat in there, like, we'll buy something. But
it'll never beat the food that's actually outside of the theme park.
Really?
Because that one's for the tourists.
Yeah, and so that food is worth the money. Mm-hmm. And it's inexpensive. It's like for a family meal, it's like around $50. I can't be exact. Mm-hmm. But you get a full chicken, you get biscuits, you get two sides. And it's like, it's a set price for a whole meal. And it's worth it because another thing is we're going to eventually have like a food episode. But I feel food brings everybody together. Have you noticed that when people are grouchy and they eat, they're just happy? Even
I like to dance.
Yeah. No, there's people that they just...
I'm not shy about getting jiggy with them when I'm getting food.
Yeah. And so, like, to think that these are the things at theme parks that... The food's integral to the entire process. The smells. I mean, I'm pretty sure you had some popcorn at Disney, and it tastes completely different. You know, they use cocoa butter and coconut oil.
No, we didn't get any popcorn that I remember of.
What'd you get?
We got the mac and cheese at the cones over at Radiator Springs.
Okay. Did you like the bread cone?
Yes, that was so good.
Yeah,
that was very good.
Yeah,
it was like was it pretzel or what was that?
See, it's a soft pretzel.
It is,
and right. I feel like you're gonna really enjoy if you attend Knott's Berry Farm's Boysenberry Wine and Food Festival because you essentially get a punch card. They've really evolved from when we started going, and then after the pandemic, I feel like it just got better and bigger and a lot more artists and food.
I think people are just more appreciative of the fact that they can get together because a lot of people overlooked a lot of things. And so it was like, once you're locked in your house for 2 years, you're like,
take it for granted.
Yeah, I know everything. And it's like, even going to a movie and seeing people, it's just different now, you know? It's just like, you appreciate those moments.
Like, I think I'm looking at the menu from last year. You're seeing like boysenberry meatballs. I like their boysenberry cider. They do have wine as well, but this was last year's, but $55 for the punch card, and you can get one of each item.
Yeah, I know. It's really worth it.
You just walk around.
Disney does their food festivals too, but
nothing beats Knott's, though. It's just so much cheaper.
Really? Yeah, well, it's affordable.
It is.
And it's quality.
Mm-hmm. It is quality.
It was one of my favorite places to go. It's one of the best annual passes you can buy.
Jambalaya boysenberry sauce for chicken and shrimp.
Well, that sounds good.
That does sound good.
Maybe we could take a French trip. Just go out there.
Yeah,
we should.
During that time and then record a podcast in the hotel
room. We would just go after school, like, because our college was only like a few miles away. So like, even after school, it's like, hey, doesn't look too busy. Do you want to go? Yeah, it was either like, Disney or...
Her question is like, do you work? No. Are you hungry? Yes. Are you going to the gym? No. Okay, let's go. It's like, okay.
Where are we going?
Where are we going? I guess.
Yeah, because my questions aren't direct. It's just like, hey, we should go to this. It's just like, what are you doing? Do you have any plans? And he knows not to be like, what do you want to do? He's just like, no, I don't want to go anymore. You killed it.
Wrapping up our last thoughts on this, on the topic. Your memory.
My memory was going with you as a kid.
Yeah, ultimately, your thoughts on theme parks. What do you think, what role do they play in your life? Like, I feel that they unite people. I feel that they're great. I feel that the source of entertainment can never be replaced.
I feel like it brings out an inner child.
Yeah.
I have fun. I don't, and I'm not scared to have fun. I was like, what I think about now is like, when I went to Legoland and I was geeking out over the Lego movie, I was like, nobody here knows me. No, I'm never gonna see them again, so I can scream all I want.
Do you remember how I geeked out over Hot Dog Man?
They had a little Hot Dog Man keychain.
I love hot dogs. It's a guilty pleasure.
Tomatoes and hot dogs.
Yeah, really? Yeah. So you can only think, tomatoes and hot dogs.
I love tomatoes.
Chicago hot dogs were my thing before I knew they were Chicago hot dogs. So like, you don't even know. My mom had to have them stocked because I would literally come home. I didn't care. I threw it in the microwave. And then I'd get the bun, and to toast the bun, I'd turn on the oven. And then as soon as it got hot, I put it in there, 15 seconds, pull it out. And I waited enough. 15 seconds. And it came out perfect. I didn't care. You know how the hot dogs place in the microwave? I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a delicacy. You know? And I was like, I did not care.
But coming back to the Hot Dog Man keychain, I don't know what it was. They usually sell it at every shop at Legoland.
Really?
Every shop. But it was sold out at almost every shop. And we were like on a mission. We got to find this little Hot Dog Man.
Yeah. And so we're like, finally, when I found him, I put him on my backpack and I was so proud. And that's my con backpack, you know, the one that looks like the NES paddle. And so like, I have him on there and I love telling the story on how we found him. And I have stories for everything. It's ridiculous. But other than that, I think this was a good episode. We're an hour and a half in, so I have some editing to do. I said only an hour, but I shoot myself in the foot every time. My final words are, thank you for listening. Theme parks, a huge part of my life, and I hope that whoever enjoys theme parks and listen to this also has a relatable story. They'll share it with us on one of our social medias, either Instagram or TikTok. Follow us on TikTok. We need 1,000 followers. Do you have final words?
So just a little bit of a backstory. Like, I was the first time I go to Magic Mountain, I'm really scared. I'm with friends, you know, we're like teenagers. I had to be brave because we were hanging out with some girls that we just met at the park or whatever. And so my friend's like, all right, let's get on this. I'm like, no, let's get on this. No, first ride I get on is I fell in love with that ride. And anytime I go to a Magic Mountain, I have to go 2 times at least. But that's kind of where I found I started like losing fear of, you know, doing things. And I kind of push myself to do things that I'm scared of.
So what you're saying is that we're gonna go skydiving, like the machine?
I don't know about that one.
Tying back to the first episode.
I don't know about that one, but maybe. I'll have to think about
that. That's a nice story. I like that.
And your final words are?
My final words are, I really do enjoy theme parks. And I recommend that, you know, everybody should go.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of what age you are, anybody should take that time to just enjoy it and just be there, not just feel like they need the excuse of like taking a kid along. It's just like, have fun. When was the last time you were at a theme park by yourself?
Thank you so much. And that was Vegas Geek Crew Valley Celestials. See you next episode.
Have a good night, guys.
Bye.